Thank you, Barbara. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, that is page 215 in your pew Bible. And as soon as you're at 1 Samuel chapter 3, stand with me and we're going to read God's Word together. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to begin read verse 1, read through verse 10, and I will tell you probably in another 5 years we're going to come back and dig a little deeper into these 10 verses. So you can go ahead and just earmark that or put a marker in there and say, well, in 2025, we're going to read this again. But there's just a lot in this. But 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, let's read God's word together. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Thank you so much. I have read and read and read and read this passage this week, and I have just fallen in love with so many thoughts there. And I don't want to get into those thoughts because that's not what I want to talk to you about, but I think my favorite is this. Three times God called Samuel, but when Samuel lay down, it said, "Then the Lord came and stood by him." I just find that amazing. But that's not what I want to talk to you about. You know, business marketers tell us that a catchy slogan is necessary in today's marketplace. A slogan is the audible representation of the brand. And marketers tell us that a slogan should have the following characteristics. First of all, it should be memorable, something you remember. It should include a key benefit of the product. It should differentiate their brand from another. It should impart positive feelings about that brand. Here are some popular slogans, and I'm sure you can think of many more, but here's just a few. Dollar Shave Club, save time, save money. I bet you know this one, M&Ms, melts in your mouth, not in your hands. Here's another one you probably know, Nike, just do it. Bounty is the quicker picker upper. And we all know that America runs on Duncan. And when you're with Allstate, you're in good hands. A few years ago, a very popular slogan was a gentleman who now works for a competitor of this company, but he was walking around representing Verizon, and he was asking a question, "Can you hear me now?" That's what I want to talk to you about today. The question that Verizon was asking is a question that God may occasionally ask us. Can you hear me now? Today's text deals with Samuel's first encounter with God. From it, we can learn some valuable lessons concerning hearing the voice of God. And the thing that I want to lay down as a foundation at the very beginning is this. God has no preconceived ways of speaking. We think that God is supposed to speak in a particular way, at a particular time and to particular people. But God is not bound by our preconceived ideas of the way He's supposed to speak. For example, God obviously has no preference on where He speaks. Abraham was in the Babylonian desert when God spoke to him. Moses was tending sheep in the backside of the desert. Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle. Elisha was plowing with a yoke of oxen. Isaiah was grieving over the death of the king. Jeremiah was at a potter's house. Elijah was hiding in a cave. The shepherds were tending their flocks by night. Matthew was collecting taxes for the Roman government. Paul was riding on a horse on the way to Damascus. They were not in church. They were not in the temple. They were not, you know, in some kind of we're going to hear God service. They were going about in their everyday lives. Today we would say it this way. They were working at the office, riding in their car, working out at the gym, sitting in their cubicle, drinking a cup of coffee, having lunch with a coworker, or if you're Phil Ferris, sitting in the drive-thru at Dairy Queen. God has no preferences about where He speaks to you and I. He can speak no matter where you are. God has no partiality for how He speaks. God does not speak in just one particular way. Moses heard a voice emanating from a burning bush. Elijah went through seeing fire and then earthquake and then a wind, but then he heard a still small voice. The wise men heard God speak to them in a dream. Paul heard Him speak out of a blinding light. King Belshazzar saw a hand writing words on the wall. God speaks through the Bible. He speaks through worship. He speaks to us through prayer. He speaks to us while we're meditating. He can speak to you through a friend. He can speak to you through a devotional that you read. He can speak to you through a song. He can speak to you through a sight. He can speak to you through a picture that you're looking at. He can speak to you through a landscape. There are no limits to how God can speak to you. Thirdly, God has no prejudice to whom He speaks. Moses was wanted for murder in Egypt when God spoke to him. Elijah was battling suicidal thoughts when God spoke to him. Samuel was a young boy, possibly a pre-teenager, when God spoke to him. Gideon was a coward when God spoke to him. Paul had an arrest warrant for early Christians when God spoke to him. God does not only choose preachers to speak to. He doesn't just choose preachers to speak through. God looks for people that He can speak to. God looks for people that He can speak through. God will meet you right where you are to speak to you. He doesn't have to put you in a particular place. Now, I want to move into a little different direction because there are keys to hearing His voice. Not formulas, but keys. The first one that I would say is this, that I saw as we were reading our text is this. It's helpful to put yourself in a position to hear. It's helpful to put yourself in a position to hear. Our lack of hearing sometimes is because we're just not listening. It's not that God is not speaking. It's not that we don't have the capabilities or the capacity to hear. It is that we're not listening. Proverbs 8, verse 34 says this, talking about in preparation. Blessed are those who listen to me. And now listen to this next part. Watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. God is saying that if you want to hear my voice, you might want to make a little preparation to do so. So that leads me to a question that I've been asking myself this week. And the question is this, what do I start my day listening to? What do you start your day listening to? Because it probably is true that what you begin your day listening to is going to affect you the rest of your day. If you begin your day listening to Jim Cantore, you're probably going to be hoping that he doesn't show up near Tallahassee. If you begin your day, and please, I'm not against the Weather Channel, but if you begin your day listening to Anderson Cooper or Fox and Friends or MSNBC or whoever else it may be, it probably is going to set the pace for the rest of your day. It's going to set the atmosphere for the rest of your day. And so what the writer of Proverbs says this, "Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my door, waiting at my doorway." What are you putting into your system every day? I got on the scales New Year's Day, December 31, and the number, my scale kept going. It finally stopped at a number, and it was a number that it was like, wow, that's terrible. And then I begin to think, how did I get to that number? I must be full of air. And then I began to think about the month of December. I ate 2 key lime pies. Every time Sherry bakes cookies during the month of December. Every time she would bake a batch of cookies, she would bring me one. Taste this one. Do you like that? Yeah, that's good. Well, I've got 3 or 4 that really don't look good. Well, honey, when you bring them to me, I'll take a glass of milk. I realized how I got to that number. It was what I was putting into my system. So what am I putting into my spiritual system? What am I putting into my attitude system? What am I putting into my outlook system? So preparation is a good key. A second good key is perception. And that says to me that what I saw in Samuel is that it's important not only that I prepare, but it's important that I lower the noise level. You know, we talk about white noise. You know, you get accustomed to white noise and it helps drown out the other noise. While Sherry and I were in Baltimore, we normally stay at the same place, and I always like to stay on the top floor because I don't want to hear anybody walking over the floor over me. And the first night we were there, I think we were the only ones on the floor. It was so quiet. I slept so well. The next night, though, in the room next to us, the Brady Bunch must have moved in overnight. At midnight, they were laughing and clapping and talking loud. So I called down to the front desk. I said, look, I'm not a complainer, but could you send somebody to the next door and ask them to quiet down? I waited about 30 minutes. The party was still going on. I called again, and within a few minutes, I heard somebody knocking on the door. Security! And he went in, and he was gone about 5 minutes, and it cranked up again. Finally, about 2 o'clock in the morning, they went to sleep, and I'm laying there thinking. Here's one of my pet peeves. People who stay in a hotel and slam the door, usually at 1 o'clock in the morning. So I'm thinking, and Sherry's saying, honey, don't get up and go knock on the door. Just stay here. And I'm thinking, you know what I'm going to do in the morning? Because when we get up, they're going to be sleeping. I'm going to go to our door and just go, blam, blam, blam. Turn the TV up loud and turn it toward them, you know. All these Christ-like thoughts that I was having. But I have to lower the noise level in order to hear from God. Here's what Ecclesiastes says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. He said, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do no wrong. Hearing is an action of listening. I have to take steps to hear. And that's what he's saying. He's saying when you're coming into the tabernacle, to the temple, to the house of God, he's saying to them, when you're coming there, guard your steps because you're coming to hear. So regardless of where I am, regardless of what I'm doing, in order to hear God, I've got to begin to make preparation to listen. And then I have to be protective of what I hear. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, the seed on good soil stand for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a good crop. In other words, I can't let someone steal from my heart what God has spoken to me. I have to be careful what I tell other people. And when I say I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about you have to be careful what you tell other people, particularly when you believe this is something God is speaking to your heart. He said you have to guard. He said the seed fell on a good heart, those people who heard the word and retained it, and then they persevered in that word. We're going to see next week where God speaks to Samuel, and he gives him a very solemn word. He speaks to him about the future of the nation, about the future of Eli, about Samuel's own future. And it was something that Samuel had to take in his heart and guard. Have you noticed what the scripture says about Mary? What the angel told Mary? What the shepherds, when the shepherds came to visit her, when the wise men came, the scripture, I believe it was Matthew, kept saying this. He says, Mary pondered these things in her heart. She heard, and she let it kind of just season within her. Sometimes God speaks a word, and he's not wanting you to focus on the word. The word is simply his introduction. It's his way of opening the door. It's just like when you see somebody and you say hello to them, and they're standing there and they say, oh, hey, hello to you, and you're standing there, you don't just look at each other. Hello is, I'm opening the door for conversation. So we have to hear what God is saying, and that little nudge in our heart, that little thing that somehow we just can't get rid of it. It's just something in there, and it kind of keeps rolling over in it. That may be the full word of God, but it also may be his introduction to say, this is the first seed I'm planting in you, but there's more seed to come. Lastly, be patient with what you hear. Don't confuse the accelerator with the brakes. James chapter 1, verse 19, James says this, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. We sometimes get the accelerator and the brakes mixed up. By that I mean we are quick to hear, quick to speak, quick to anger. And James says, reverse that. Be swift to hear, but slow to speak, and slow to anger. When our dad was living, he called me one morning and he said, Rodney, he said, I'm having trouble with my truck. I want you to come out here and I'm taking it to, this one, Big Ten Tires was here. I'm taking it to Big Ten Tires. Something's wrong. I drove out to his house. I followed him to Big Ten Tires, and he got out of the truck and he told him, he said, something's wrong with my brakes. They're just not working. And so the man said, the man took it for a test drive, and he came back and he said, Mr. West, I don't think there's anything wrong with your brakes. So, yeah, there's something wrong with my brakes. And he said, all right, Mr. West, you drive and take me around. Let's just go driving for a little bit and so I can see, because I don't see what you're saying. About 10 minutes later, they came back and the man said, asked me, could I talk to you just a minute? I said, sure. He said, I know what's wrong with your dad's truck. I said, well, what is it? He said, the intersection of North Monroe Street and John Knox Road. He said, the light turned red and we went right through the intersection. He said, your dad's mashing the brakes and the accelerator at the same time. So he said, we're slowing down, but we're not stopping. I said, well, that's normally the way he drives, so what's the problem? You know? Sometimes in life, we get the brakes and the accelerator confused. And we hear something, and rather than letting it settle, we react. We're like, boom! And we miss what God is trying to say to us through somebody else. You know, the scripture talks about speak the truth in love. I can speak the truth, but I have to be willing to hear the truth and receive the truth. I read the story of the man who had difficulty communicating with his wife, and so he assumed that his wife was going deaf. So he decided to do a test without her knowing it. One night they were sitting, and they were sitting across from her in the room, and she had her back to him, and so he whispered quietly, he said, "Can you hear me?" She didn't respond. He moved a little bit closer. He said, "Can you hear me now?" She didn't respond. He moved a little bit closer. He said, "Can you hear me now?" She didn't respond. Finally, he walked up to the back of the chair and he stood over her and he said, "Can you hear me now?" And to his surprise, she said, very irritated, "For the fourth time, yes." You know, God's voice may not be the problem. I don't ever hear from the Lord. Maybe God's speaking, and you and I are not putting ourselves in a position to hear. We think that God's gone mute, and the problem really is we've gone deaf. We're so inundated with other sounds, with other voices, with our own voices, with what we're reading, with what we're hearing, with our opinion, with our wants, our wishes, our desires, the way I like things. We're so consumed with that that we are not hearing because we are not listening. Don't you find it interesting? I've wondered as I have read and read and read this text so many times this week, why didn't God speak to Eli? And why did it take Samuel three times coming to him before it finally dawned on Eli, God speaking to you? And I will tell you my opinion is because Eli was no longer tuned in to the voice of God. God was speaking. Eli was not listening. As we begin this year, what I told you last week, what I believe is going to be a year of transition in my own life. And if you're following the news of the United Methodist Church, it's going to be a year of transition for the United Methodist Church. And it's going to be a year of transition for Pisgah. We must be putting ourselves in a place to hear what God is saying. And to listen. I love what Samuel said. "Speak, Lord." He didn't say your servant is willing. He didn't say your servant is working. He didn't say your servant is got an opinion about it. He said, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Father, we understand that you speak. You speak in a variety of ways. You use various means. Sometimes it's your voice directly. Sometimes it's someone else's voice. Sometimes it's something we see. Sometimes it's something we read. Sometimes, Lord, we can be standing singing a hymn and we come across a phrase and it just hits us in our heart. And we hear you say, "That's you. That's me. That's what I'm saying to you today." Lord, you know what this year holds for all of us. And I pray, Father, that we would begin this year by saying, "Lord, this is going to be a year where we do less talking and more listening. This is going to be a year in which we give our opinion less and we listen for your voice more. This is going to be a year in which we say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So we give you thanks now in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Ken's coming to lead us in